Hello, Susanna Lopez here, actor turned barrister turned broadcaster turned true crime writer and proud member of Sisters in Crime Australia. Welcome to the Scarlet Stiletto Bites podcast. For over 30 years now, Sisters in Crime Australia has supported our women crime writers, both true crime and fiction, and some criminal literary talent has been unearthed. Among many awards, there's an annual prize for short crime fiction, the Scarlet Stiletto Awards. And for those of you who prefer your stories by ear, in 2023 we commenced this podcast series, Scarlet Stiletto Bites, to celebrate the sisters' 30th anniversary. Each story is short, but not always sweet. Expect twisted tales, quirky humour, and a frisson of feminism. Please support us by following, sharing, reviewing, and generally spreading the word. We have no paywall. I recently saw Furiosa and loved the visuals. And the future always looks terribly grim. But grim in what way depends on the imagination of the story creator. Today's story is Xenos by Evelyn Tsitas, Scarlet Stiletto Innovation Prize 2007. The room was dimly lit, with only a few pieces of important mid-20th century furniture to enliven the surroundings. From the window, the red dust swirled in an endless cycle of drought and decay. A large painting by Peter Booth of mutants eating their arms, legs and genitals graced a smooth cement wall, and on the Huon Pine conference table sat a small digital recorder. I was alone, ushered in by the Xenos troops who pushed me out of the Black Humvee 4 hours ago and marched me into the holdings. It was another hour after that before the blindfold and handcuffs were taken off, then another hour in one of the wait cells, with only a half ape to keep me company. I would have preferred to be alone. Call me a higher evolved species, but it's a basic rule of thumb, so to speak, that those who walk on four legs stink like they shit without using toilet paper, and they make lousy conversationalists. I expected as much. You don't kill one of their own and get away with it. Mind you, if that was my only defence, I was as good as fried. I only wish I'd worn better shoes. Leather shoes, actually. Pig skin. My full lips curled at the thought. Pink. Pigskin stilettos with a perspex heel. In fact, the last word in killer shoes. But as it was, I was wearing PVC ankle boots. On trial for killing a genetic mutant and not even wearing shoes made from the beast itself. I wanted to throw the bloody things against the glass wall, but what was the point? The window was bulletproof, and anyway, I could be sure that the Satlink would be picking up everything I was doing and relaying it as far as the Outer Hebrides. After all, global killing meant global repercussions, even if the only thing that got between you and your gun was a mutant. No, especially if it was a mutant. It used to be said as a joke, you know, even mutants have got rights these days. But it was no joke. Once the animal testing labs had been emptied, the genetically enhanced rats and rabbits and dogs and cats and monkeys were set free to cross-breed. And you'd better believe that there was more than the odd human out there happy to do it with a monkey or a dog, especially when they looked almost human. Hell, I've seen rats that looked more human than my first husband. But that's not why I'm here in this room. With my future dependent on what I could remember of that night on the Xenos raid. That bloody night. Rain pouring down like there was no drought. Of course, it was genetically enhanced rain. the sort you get when you shoot particles into low-lying cumulus. But it felt real. It felt cold and wet, and the roads were slippery, despite the flexi-grip tyres. With Ralph beside me, the last time we went out together. Jesus, I sighed. Poor Ralph. My mind flashed momentarily on a memory of him laughing, eating sushi out of a plastic takeaway tray, his eyes watering from too much wasabi and a trickle of soy down his chin. And then the sickening sound of a cat screaming, a guttural yell. I had my gun out, but not quick enough, and the mutant threw Ralph to the ground. 1 minute Ralph was there, next his head was rolling down the dirty sidewalk and the sushi was all over the concrete. I did what I had been trained to do, emptied 4 rounds into the feline and then stood back and watched as the damn beast morphed back into human. A woman with 4 gunshot wounds to the body, Edinburgh style, 2 in the chest, 1 in the forehead and 1 in the genitals, for good luck. So now here I am, facing a murder charge, fighting for my Xenos badge. What do they say? Life's a bitch and then you die? Well, not me, not yet, at least not today. I'm caring, and it isn't even lunchtime. It was cold, of course, heat and dust outside, but in here, in this hermetically sealed crypt, it was just the right temperature to stop bacteria growing. It's cold in other places too. Operating theatres, morgues, the holdings. Anywhere to stop the rot spreading, the fungus blossoming. The chain reaction, Xenos growth. I shivered and pulled the cashmere cardigan tighter across my shoulders. Would you like a cup of tea? I turned to the voice. I'd smelt him standing there for about 5 minutes before, but figured it was all part of the test, so I didn't turn around until he actually spoke to me. No sniffing, no mind reading. Act like a regular human. No, thank you, I said, but thanks for asking. You're not thirsty? He came over to me, standing stiffly in his white lab coat. Did they think I'd open after him? If I thought he was a real doctor? I'd done the training. I knew the drill. I shook my head. He introduced himself. I'm Dr. Fahua. I said nothing. Well then, said Dr. Fahua, let's get on with it, shall we? Could you please state for the record your name, rank and special ops force? Ariana Stefanfanos, Investigator, Xenos Task Force, Melbourne Branch. And Miss Stefanfanos, you've read the charges against you and you've waived your right to counsel, I see. Well, this is only a preliminary hearing and I... Dr. Fahua put up his hand to silence me. Murder is a very serious charge. Shooting a civilian 4 times while they were out on their evening run. This time I interrupted him. It was night. Cats hunt at night. She was looking for food. She wasn't a cat. Well, she was when I shot her. She was when she ripped my partner's head off. Autopsy showed no trace of feline in her body or even in her DNA. Well, they were wrong. She was a cat. I could smell it on her. I didn't even need to look into the yellow of her eyes to see that. How could I be so sure? Well, there are only 2 things you need to know about me. The first is that I am 100% human. The second is that I am trained to kill those who are not. Perhaps there is a 3rd thing, and that is the reason I was trained in Xenos identification in the first place. You see, I have a sort of 6th sense about spotting the animal within. I can see it in the dilation of the pupils, in the way they grunt or squawk under questioning, or in the way they run unnaturally fast. But it is more than that. Any competent Xenos killer can do what I do, but I go further, deeper. I can sense the animal at the molecular level. And the irony of it is that it appears that this is an ancient gift, one that separated the Homo sapiens from the apes millennia ago. So it's not a human trait I have, it's a long-buried animal one. I work for HUMINT, that's short for human intelligence. That's something else you should know, but not even my own mother does. I had to sign a lot of documents when I joined, legally binding ones, signed on veal parchment and dipped in blood. My blood. Join HUMINT and you're the government's for life. Every time we go into the HQ, we step into glass pods that electronically scan us for hidden devices and do a resonance sweep for rogue DNA. A blast of freezing air, followed by blinding laser light, nukes the last traces of the outside world so you don't contaminate the grid. Join HUMINT, and you have to swear you'll lie about your job for the rest of your life. Join HUMINT and swear you'll never identify another HUMINT or Xenos member on the outside for as long as you live. You could be in a restaurant, a department store, or the dentist's waiting room. And if a colleague or former colleague was there as well, you'd have to pretend that you'd never seen them before. Spying hasn't got any easier over the years. In fact, since the animal surfaced within, it's become harder, riskier. Let's just say that the methods we've employed to eradicate the gene mutations aren't pretty. You were approached to work for HUMINT while still at university, asked Dr. Fahoa. You joined without hesitation. Sure. I was going nowhere in my doctoral thesis on Charles Le Brun's line of animality theory in the 21st century. But it says here that ethics approval had been withdrawn. Oh, that was a misunderstanding. A conservative on the ethics board. He was a Catholic priest. I was never going to get the research past him. Even now it annoyed me. I simply asked someone whose child had Cri du chat syndrome to participate in a stem cell sampling. Your report says you were going to splice it with actual feline DNA, said Fahoua. Would the atom bomb have gotten made if scientists had always erred on the side of caution? I spoke without thinking, as usual. You don't think that's an insensitive thought to have around me? Fahua's tone was icy. Shit. Caught out. Fahua was an Arabic name. Under the circumstances of the last atomic war in Iraq, that was an insensitive analogy. Sorry, I said. Are you just saying that because you think it's inappropriate? No, really, I am sorry. Look, do you have to write down my comment in the file? I know it was insensitive, right? But you still made the comment. I looked at Dr. Fahua and smiled, tried to act normal. I had gone through my list this morning before facing the tribunal, my things to say and do to make yourself look normal list. I thought I had everything down pat. The sincere smile, the initial inquiry into the man's general health and well-being, comments about the weather. Not following the guidelines always tripped me up. Well, obviously, or I wouldn't be here, would I? Facing the murder charge. And what are you thinking now? Asked Dr. Fahua, peering at me from over his bifocals. Why you didn't opt for laser eye surgery? Oh, that's another insensitive comment. Are you prone to them? He replied dryly. It was a joke, I tried to bluff. The fact is, I never really knew where the boundary was. That is why I was so good at my job. Actually, my job requires that I suppress human qualities, like humour, I said. Is that a joke? Dr. Fahua asked. I saw him writing furiously and I didn't know if it was a good or a bad thing. Now, if he was a dog, I would be able to tell you what he was thinking by the twitch of his left nostril. If he was a mulatto canine, a kind of transverse DNA substem that you've probably never come across, then even though canine traits are well buried, I can sense them. No, not smell. It's more psychic than that. Do I get to state for the record that I'm innocent? I asked. Dr. Farhua glanced down at his folder and flipped a page. Let's move on, Ariana. You don't mind if I call you by your first name, do you, Ariana? You graduated top of your crypto class, were fast-tracked through Xenos Morph, and then a year at the CIA Academy in an exchange program at Langley, and then back for a stint at ASIO before Humint signed you up. Ah, yes. That was about the same time as your marriage breakdown. Well, it's hard to keep a marriage on track when you have to lie to everyone about what you do. Your superior officer advised you against the match in the first place. Says here you refused to believe an operative in a civilian marriage could have been doomed. I frowned, remembering the checklist. Should I be insulted at this intrusive personal remark or not? Should I comment? The problem was my SO had been right. Only a genius with Asperger's like me would have ignored all the warning signs. Then, shall we go on, intoned Farhua. After your husband's apparent suicide by poisoning, you were recruited into the Xenos Task Force after the reintroduction of myxomatosis in Outback Australia led to a human encephalitis outbreak. Well, they needed teams in there immediately. Operation Spinifex was a success. But you wiped out an entire Aboriginal tribe and a sheep station. They were infected. I shuddered as I recalled those awful screams. The fur that covered their bodies, the limping and the terrible twitching, and finally, as the virus exploded out of their membranes, the rivers of blood that dissolved into the red earth. You received a special citation, a Commonwealth Bravery Award, and the John Howard Peace Prize. Impressive. Dr. Farhua smiled and peered at me over his glasses. I wondered if he'd ever considered a lupine implant. They work quite well, especially for night vision. I was just doing my job. Explain it to me. The Xenos Task Force was set up back last century, although no one except a select few knew of its existence then. You can trace the line of inquiry back to the 17th century when Charles Le Brun's groundbreaking work on the similarities between human and animal physiognomies and the treatise of de la Chambre alerted the early scientific community to the possibilities. And then, of course, as the rumours of the experiments came to light, writers stole the ideas and used them in their work. Only people thought them simply the fantastic ravings of the creative mind. The island of Dr. Moreau? Dr. Farhua asked, leaning forward. I could smell his interest peak. I nodded. Well, it's still studied as a work of dystopian fiction, but the actual scientific paper he based it on is held at the Bibliothèque de l'Ancienne Faculté de Médecine in Paris. But the faculty was destroyed in the Second World War, Dr. Farhua said. Convenient. It wasn't destroyed, it just moved. As soon as they occupied France, the Nazis took all the documents held there relating to the human-animal mutations that had been recorded. It became the basis for Mengele's little-known experiments with hybrid sequencing. Oh, that's just a wild rumour, exclaimed Farhua. By now his eyes were opening wider, glistening like a child who has been given a push-pop with endless, sour, dipping flavour. Disgusting, yet strangely compelling. I could tell I had him hooked. The only reason no one found the evidence was that the Americans took it back with them when they liberated the concentration camps. It wasn't only nuclear weapons being developed by emigre scientists, you know. The British soon got wind of it, and their espionage has always been better and more ruthless. And by the 1980s, their animal experimentation had taken a more sinister turn. Was that a twitch I saw in Fahu's cheek? A little patch of hair forming under his eyebrow? I glanced at his fingernails, which seemed a little longer and sharper than before, and his hands were twisted with a claw-like movement. I forced my breathing to become slower, lower my blood pressure, delay the fight-or-flight reflex as I was taught. There is a specific way of dealing with animals, especially when you are the meat. Go on, urged Fahur, this is an interesting story. Humint was established back in 1985. At the time scientists began gene sequencing, they noticed something more than the fact that we are so closely related to apes, that it was only a sharp right-hand turn of chance and biology that we ended up running the planet and they ended up the hunted. No, it's more than genes in common because, and this might shock you, we have about 58% of genes in common with an eggplant, using the Bayesian estimation of genomic distance. Think about that. What scientists found truly terrifying was that the bridge between human and animal wasn't a couple of percent that made all the difference. It was the junk DNA they thought wasn't important that held the key. No one knew when the cloning experiments first started that sequence of junk DNA would be turned on so rapidly that in just one generation, the species boundary would be breached if animal implants were grafted to humans. I guess it's no real surprise I ended up working on the Xenos Task Force. After all, my father was one of the scientists who experimented with animal-human transplants. And even though he injected himself with the virus, it was after I was born, so I'm clean. We have regular monthly blood tests to check that contamination hasn't occurred. You just have to be very careful. I, for instance, never let anyone buy me a drink. And I am vigilant in checking for GM foods, so I never eat out. So, I guess that's one reason I don't date much. An interesting rationale, said Fahur. The other reason is that I'm sick of questioning and wondering and testing. I've had relationships with men who have ended up in the holdings for traces of baboon or reptile, I said. Fahu stepped away from me and licked his lips. Don't look at me like that. Can be hard to tell, even with the pinprick test. Animal nature comes out in behaviour more often than not, so sometimes even I miss shedding skin if I'm caught up in the passion of the moment. So you sleep around. I'm sexually active. And yes, I use protection. I'm not that careless. No, you don't need to write that down. Look, I've told you before. I've already been to psych to debrief on the Toscano incident. Even as I said it, I wanted to cry. Ralph Toscano, my partner for 8 years. I didn't shit without Ralph knowing about it first, and now he was dead. And I was alone. Fahur looked up at me and pushed the glasses back firmly onto his face. I could smell the perspiration emanating from his pores, the slight whiff of his adrenal secretions, the way his pupils dilated and then contracted in the hard light that streamed through the windows of the conference room. I wanted to put my sunglasses on myself, but under the circumstances, didn't think it was a good idea. After all, despite my DNA sheet, I was being accused now. How ironic. Tell me about what happened that night, Dr. Fahur asked. I could sense his heart rate climbing down now and try to imagine the blood pushing through his veins. It was hard to break old habits. That's what made people nervous around me. Well, there's nothing much to tell us. I put everything in the report. We got a tip-off that some hybrids were squatting in the old Docklands area behind the Arkley Tower block. They'd found an abandoned townhouse complex, we were told. A passing child had rung in, saying they'd smelt something funny. Funny? Dr. Farhua crouched forward. Damn, I could now see the perspiration on his skin. Slight glistening droplets rolling towards his chest. Musty animal smell, like straw, she said. That was an immediate warning bell. Most hybrids, if sufficiently evolved, will use the toilets. But if the animal is taking over, they'll defecate in the corners of rooms, often on piles of papers. That's why we have such tight surveillance on paper recycling depots. I want you to go back to the night in question, said Dr. Farhua, crossing his legs again, the slight bulge in his crotch alerting me to the fact that he was attracted to me. His strong jaw was a turn-on, I admit. Well, I decided to check it out, to go undercover. I have an alias in the hybrid community and some slight gen modification to my bio-output can make me look feline. I pushed my dark hair back, showing off my slightly pointy ears. The effects of the surgery would take a few more months to subside. Other symptoms, the nocturnal habits, the wandering, the absence of anything but meat and milk from my diet, could take a little longer to leave my system. I didn't mention it to Psych, but I actually liked some of the characteristics. Maybe they would think that included the killings. But I only did those for the job, for the good of mankind. Did you take backup? Asked Dr. Farhua. The report says here that you refused to engage the help of... He squinted at the writing. Detective Criffey. Yes, well, I had my reasons. Tell me about them. As he spoke, Dr. Farhua took out a laser pencil and flicked it in my eyes. The classic pupil response test. I held my head still and waited for him to finish. I'm clean? I asked. Did you doubt it? Said Dr. Farhua, putting away the pen. Lying, I shook my head. I doubt it, all right. The doctors said I was clean and the feline was psychosomatic, but I could feel claws under the surface of my nails, ready to spring. Criffey had been drinking. I said, he wasn't in a fit state to confront a group of hybrids. I decided to go in with Ralph. The two of us could handle it, but he was hungry. We picked up a sushi pack and he was eating it as we got to the block of the tower. Do you know what species they were? From the clues, I guessed rodent. That musty smell, the shredded paper and so on. I thought, as a feline hybrid, I'd be able to spook them out. Anyway, we did the same drill as always. I'd go in, up, wired for sound. Ralph would be down waiting with a stun gun and a rifle full of lead shot, just in case. What happened when you got to the apartment? Well, I knocked, pretending to be a pizza delivery person with the wrong address. The first hybrid opened the door and told me to go away, but the smell of the pizza made him change his mind. When did the trouble start? Once I was in, I could sense that things were breaking down pretty fast. You have to understand that with hybrids, the memories can take over at a cellular level until you don't realise that you were changing. The hybrids all had pink eyes and twitching noses. Some had the classic claw-shaped hands and were beginning to revert to walking on all fours. The leader, however, looked human, which was disturbing, as he was paying for their survival by selling his body on the streets. You could have called the police at this stage, said Dr. Farhua. There are laws against willfully spreading the virus through sexual transmission. I nodded. Sure, if you could get them there on time. You have forgotten how fast mice are at evading capture. Anyhow, I had baited the pizza and taken retina scans of all the hybrids with my ocular implant when I realised that I knew one of the smaller members of the group. Did they recognise you? Yes, I think so. I wondered if she was going to give me away, but she didn't say anything. Her hands were in a pretty bad state, and she couldn't feed herself unless she ate off the floor. I think she just wanted an end to it all, to tell you the truth, but she was scared of going to the holdings and the experiments. Your report states that vivisection is still widely practiced in the holdings. Yes, I have eyewitness accounts. From a bird hybrid only. Fahur said it so dismissively, goosebumps spread over my arms. He was oddly species prejudiced for a murder interrogator, considering the case. Birds can be reliable, I said. I haven't found that to be my experience, he said. Well, it was an eagle hybrid, so that should tell you something. Eagles are known for their intelligence. There was silence as Fahur tapped his Mont Blanc pen on the clipboard, like he was waiting for me to say something. I didn't give him the satisfaction. When did the shooting start? Asked Dr. Fahur finally. Damn him. I knew he had all the facts on the screen. What was to be gained by torturing me in this way? I was about to tell him that I didn't care what they charged me with when I noticed something odd. The hair on Fahur's upper lip really was getting longer as we spoke, and his nose was getting fatter. It was as if his face was dissolving in front of me. Judging by the angle of the shadows on the floor, this could only mean one thing. He was a mutant, and the steroids were wearing off. They put a damn mutant in a room with me. Why? To see if I'd notice? To see if I'd crack? Maybe they wanted me to kill him. I casually brushed my hand across my crossed leg and felt the reassuring weight of the glass knife wedged in my boot. I could get it out of the sheath before he grunted. Then again, if he was a mutant pig strain, he'd be strong. He'd be stubborn. But briefly, despite myself, I wondered what pig would be like in bed. They say, after you've tried a beast, it's impossible to go back to regular human sex. Fahur leaned forward. I could feel the heat from his body and smell a subtle pigskin odour. You didn't answer me, he said. The shootings. Who started it? Was it your gun? Sure, I replied. I like to be on top of things. And the rats attacked first. It was self-defence, pure and simple. Fahur twitched, kept going on about the phone call I'd logged in when I realised we were under fire, kept going on about time discrepancies. There was some sort of delay between when I called in the attack and the round I emptied into the mutant. And all I could say was, my partner's head had been ripped from his body. What did you expect me to do? His fingernails were definitely longer, and his hands were turning into claws as he interrogated me. This was not a good sign. Werewolves I could handle. They are very specific with their metamorphosis, but mutants, there's never any warning about when they'll turn. You and Ralph, you were lovers, right? Asked Fahur. I mean, the camera doesn't lie, does it? And he pushed a series of photos across the table. Incriminating ones, I admit. Ralph's wife wasn't going to like seeing those, but I guess that was the point. So what? We got the job done. You know who this is? Fahur waved a glossy crime scene still at me. It was going fast, but I knew right away it was the mutant I'd emptied the rounds into. Like I said, the mutant attacked first. You know who she is? I shrugged. A mutant! Fahu held out another photo, a wedding photo. At first, I didn't recognise Ralph. Back then, he had a mullet and a trim waist, and the woman in the wedding dress next to him must have been. It hit me hard. A cold slap in the face with a bucket of reality. The woman next to Ralph was the woman lying bleeding in the gutter. I'd killed his wife, and she had killed him. It was making perfect, horrible sense. I thought of the last night I'd spent with Ralph, a quickie in a motel room. But if Ralph had been sleeping with his wife, who was a mutant, that could only mean... I looked at my hands. A soft down of hair had already started to cover them, and my usually bitten fingernails were long and sharp. So you see, Fahu said, we didn't bring you in because you killed a mutant. We brought you in because you are turning into one. You know how fast the virus spreads. You know what it is we have to do now. My hand reached over to my leg. He was quick, but I was quicker. You don't spend years Xenos training for nothing. I walked out of that building with a spring in my step, the sun on my face, a fat hairy claw sectioned off as a trophy in my pink Louis Vuitton bag. I was hungry for meat. A little pork, perhaps. But first, I needed a leg wax. I grunted. It was so hard to look remotely human when you're undercover. The end. Thanks so much for listening. We'd love to get your feedback, and we'd love to reach more listeners. Our website is sistersincrime.org.au, and our email address is admin@sistersincrime.org.au. Until next Friday, then, when we bring you another scintillating story from Australian women crime creators.